And hello, Sunsouth listeners. This is Andy Bombeck, which means, once again, it's time for the Children's Story Hour. And as always, I'm glad you could join me today for a good variety of children's stories. Like always, the first half hour, I'll be reading picture books. And then the second half hour, I'm going to continue with a novel that I've been reading now for almost 3 months, titled Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging, Confessions of Georgia Nicholson. But first, let's begin today's program with the picture book titles. I'm going to start off with a book titled When I See You, and then it's The Carpet, an Afghan Family Story, Free to Be Elephant Me, Tal and the Toucan, Princesses Love School, and if we have time, I'll finish up the first half hour with My House, My Family. So it should be a lot of fun. Let's get started with our first picture book today, titled When I See You. And this is a story about an expectant mother. Where do you come from, little bird? Like a tickle feather in flight, from ancient moons and outer space, the deepest part of night. I wish I could float to you in a red balloon, find you in a galaxy. I dream of the things we'd do. We'd go ice skating on Pluto and make s'mores with marshmallow moons, dancing down chocolate ice cream streets while we nibble on macaroons. We'd tell aliens ghost stories and go ice fishing on Neptune. Croon, twinkle, twinkle, little star, at the Nebula Lagoon. We could make snow angels in cotton candy clouds as we float about Uranus, reading our favorite books out loud. We'd play Frisbee with Saturn's rings and go bobsledding on them too. We could play hide and seek behind comets and shattered moons. We'd float around in outer space with no gravity at our heels. We'd hopscotch through the Milky Way and practice Martian man cartwheels. We'd make a space zoo by Jupiter by planting flags on all its moons. We'd name them after animals like zebra, ostrich, and baboon. We'd build a sandcastle kingdom across the dunes of Mars. We'd crown ourselves as king and queen and write our names up in the stars. We'd surf asteroids to Mercury, hanging 10 in our socks, skateboard in its craters, and play hot potato with rocks. We'd braid air like Rapunzel's hair and skip small stars like stones. Plant gardens on plains of Venus with petals that turn to palms. We'd ride meteor showers as we made our way to home. We'd play dodgeball with shooting stars, collecting space junk as we roamed. We'd jump Earth cloud trampolines, splashing in pools of rain. We'd build ourselves a jungle gym, all out of candy canes. We'd play tug of war with rainbows and practice standing on our heads. Hop across mountaintops, hand painting the sky pink and red. Out where the birds have been, somewhere beyond the blue, we'd dance above the world we'd made, a world for me and you. As wide as any ocean, I'll hug you for miles and miles. When I see you, we'll deep dive into seas of kisses and smiles. The day I get to hold your hand, I'll know a wish can come to be. When I hold you the day you're born, you won't just be a dream. The Carpet, an Afghan Story. We sip our tea and talk together. Ruby cushions of goose feather. The carpet is for sitting. We gather greens, fresh and crispy. Basil, mint, dill, and parsley. The carpet is for prepping. First comes washing, then it's soaking. Stems from leaves need mindful splitting. The carpet is for helping. Folding out a red waxed cover, mother, father, sisters, brothers, the carpet is for sharing. Don't bring crumbs into the kitchen. Spread them out across the garden. The carpet is for caring. We hop from cliffs, hot lava here. Quick, watch out, a shark is near. The carpet is for playing. Rooks are fast, pawns are slower. Your king's stuck, this game is over. The carpet is for learning. We read tales of buried treasure. Flying Sigmore, born of fire. The carpet is for listening. My parents speak of family they had when they were young and free. The carpet is for remembering. Their smiles fade behind closed doors. Our lives crushed by others' wars. The carpet is for standing. Though I'm small, I know it's wrong to never fit, never belong. The carpet keeps me strong. The carpet is for dreaming of a place that I have never known, the distant land we call our own. The carpet is a piece of home. Free to be Elephant Me. Elephant Mighty reclined on his throne at the start of the Elephant Games. Impress me, he said to the little ones there, and I'll give you your elephant names. Tradition dictated in elephant lore that all of the young ones compete to try to be better than everyone else at a certain spectacular feat. And each time an elephant managed to prove a talent or skill to the king, the monarch would give them an elephant name, an honor they all longed to win. Nina was first to try out for a name, the largest young elephant there. She pulled a whole tree from the ground by its roots and lifted it high in the air. Amazing, cried Elephant Mighty. Hooray! Your trunk is so splendid and long. I never imagined that tree would come loose. I'm calling you Elephant Strong. Young Norcris was next, so he took a deep breath, and, summoning all of his might, he let out a bellow so loud and so shrill that even the vultures took flight. Remarkable, Elephant Mighty declared. That sound, you could hear it from space. I'm calling you Elephant Noisy, my boy. Now please settle back in your place. One by one, all the young elephants came and paraded in front of the throne, and each one was awarded an elephant name except one at the back on his own. I see one more elephant hiding away. Come, show yourself now, said the king. Yes, tell me what marvelous trick you can do. Please demonstrate. What is your thing? Well, I'm not really sure yet, Your Highness, he said. It's just that I don't really know. Oh, nonsense, said Elephant Mighty. Come on, I command you to give me a show. So, Num Num stepped forward and did a few tricks. He was trying as hard as he could, but Elephant Mighty was most unimpressed, asking, can't you do anything good? Oh dear, scowled the king, no, that really won't do. Poor Num Num felt hopelessly small. I should call you Elephant Nothing, he laughed. Yes, Elephant Nothing at all. So Num Num decided to move far away, to a place where no elephants go. He trudged through the dust and the heat of the plains, his head and his tail hanging low. But soon, because Num Num was gentle and kind, and was blessed with a generous soul, lions and zebras, giraffes and gazelle came and shared his new watering hole. Then one day, a warthog asked, "Why are you here?" So Num Num explained what occurred. "That's nonsense," a crocodile swiftly replied, and his friends all agreed, "That's absurd." "You're good at all sorts of things, really you are. You're friendly, you're kind, and you're true. Out of all of the animals here on these plains, there's only one you." "Come, follow me, Num Num," the crocodile said. "Let's take you back where you belong, and tell Mr. Elephant Thingamajig that he's not only foolish, but wrong." The animals led Num Num back to his home, where Elephant Mighty held sway. "Excuse me, Your Highness," said Num Num, "it's me, and this time I've got something to say." He cleared his throat nervously, took a deep breath, then looked up as brave as can be. "I'll tell you my elephant name," Num Num said. "I want to be Elephant Me."
"You want to be Elephant Me?" sneered the king, with a haughty and arrogant snort. "Well, there's nothing about it that says what you do. That's a really ridiculous thought."
"It's not," Num Num said, "because that's who I am. I may not be noisy or tough, but the hardest thing sometimes is just to be you. And to know being you is enough." To all of the creatures' astonished surprise, the king didn't bellow or shout. No, Elephant Mighty had started to weep, and a long, lonely wail came out.
"You're right," cried the monarch. "It's hard to be you. And guess what? It's hard to be me. I'm tired being Elephant Mighty all day. I want to be Elephant Free. I'm longing to do all those things that I can't, that a king's not expected to do, like dancing all night beneath only the stars, with my feet getting wet in the dew. Who cares about all these ridiculous names? No, what's more important by far is just to be true to ourselves every day and content with whoever we are." "Elephant Me, what a wonderful thing. Now, whenever we see there's a chance, let's celebrate meanness with all of our hearts. And right now, I see stars. So, let's dance."
Tally and the Toucan. All the other kids could tumble and swing, but I've always been afraid of falling. Afraid of somersaults and front rolls, afraid of cartwheels and back rolls. I would get dizzy and scared, afraid the world would turn upside down, afraid it would turn inside out, afraid it would break apart and I'd become someone else, or worse, completely disappear. One night, I dreamed I could roll, but I was still afraid. Another night, I did somersaults in the clouds, and I did not fall out of the sky. But in the morning, I was still scared. The next day, walking home from school, I turned a different way and passed the dojo. The kids there could fly sideways, front ways, and upside down. I wished I could be that brave. But I was scared. My head would roll right off, and I would break into a million pieces. That night, I dreamed I was sleeping in my own little cottage by the sea.
A storm was raging, swirling around. I heard the pounding of rain through the trees. Chickens were flying to get out of the rain. Lightning flashed and thunder roared. A chicken peeked at the skylight above, trying to escape the outdoors. I hope she doesn't lay an egg, I thought, or get hurt or fall to the floor. But the chicken bravely walked onto the glass and pecked as hard as she could. Surely she can't break through the glass, I thought, but somehow I knew that she would. I saw her head come right through the glass. She made it look so easy. Her short little beak was now a huge rainbow bill. She'd turned into a toucan completely. Surely she can't fly into the cottage, I wondered, but yes, she could do it so neatly. She showed me how to flap my wings and taught me to hop and to fly. Be brave, little dreamer. Tally, she said, I'll always be with you inside. I opened the door of the thatched roof cottage, setting the toucan free. She came right back and gave me a hug, then flew out to the trees by the sea. With a thrill and a song, I found she was gone. The thunder could no longer be heard. The chicken was gone. The toucan was free. And I had the wings of a bird. In my dream, I could fly higher than the rooftops below. I could flap my wings, tumble, and soar as high as I wanted to go. I awoke to a voice inside and around me, and this is what it said. Oh, little fledgling, you once pecked at the glass. You were chicken to fly, and that's human. It just takes time to be ready to try. Then I hopped out of bed as a toucan. After school, I headed straight to the dojo again. The kids were still falling and flying. This time, I walked right through the door. Once I was chicken, now I too can. Yes, I too can. Princesses in Love. The first day of school is a big day, even for princesses, like Mulan, Tiana, Belle, Moana, Ariel, Cinderella, and Raya. School is a place where everyone can be themselves and can blossom. There, adventure is never too hard to find. And now it is time to prepare for your big day. But how should you get ready? What are the best art supplies to take? How many books will you need? What should you pack for lunch? There's so much to prepare for. Once you get everything together, you'll put on your favorite outfit and maybe, like Mulan, grab a charm or two for good luck just in case. Then you'll be all set for your school day adventure. Every place a princess goes to learn is special. Some princesses learn in a library, like Belle, or a palace, like Raya, or even underwater, like Ariel. While every classroom is different, each one carries a type of magic to allow you to do your best. You'll say goodbye to your family, but don't worry, they'll be waiting for you at the end of the day. When you first enter the classroom, you will meet someone very special. This is your teacher. A teacher is sort of like the fairy godmother's apprentice. Your teacher will be your guide at school. They will lead your lessons, and they will be there to offer you a helping hand. What's most important is that your teacher will help you follow your dreams throughout the school year. Then it will be time for your school day adventure to begin. You'll have many classmates who are just as excited as you to start the day at school. You may be surprised to find that many kids in your class love the same things you do. You may make a new friend who loves to read dragon scrolls, like Raya, or enjoys learning about science, like Moana. You may discover that your friends like different things than you do, and that's great too. Ariel loves to show her friends her collection of human treasures. Even if they don't quite understand, they are always willing to listen. You and your classmates will spend the day learning all sorts of new things. You may find an enchanting new book like Belle, or discover how to write a new word like Mulan. You may learn how to make crafts like Cinderella, or figure out how to do math problems like Raya. Like Tiana, you may even learn how to spot an evening star in the night sky. Sometimes you may have different kinds of fun. You may go on an exciting field trip with your classmates like Ariel, or even play outside during recess like Milan. What other wonderful things will you discover on your first day of school? While there is a lot of time for fun during the school day, there may be moments when things feel a little challenging. You may hear the whoosh of the ocean calling you, like Moana during Grandma Tala's lessons, and find it hard to sit still. You may have trouble figuring out the answer on a quiz like Belle. Take a deep breath. Don't worry. School isn't always perfect. It is a place to learn new things, make mistakes, and have a few adventures. Just keep trying and know that you can always get help. After a fun day, the class will wrap up the lesson. You'll say goodbye to your teacher and friends. How does time fly by so quickly? Your family will be waiting for you, and you can give them a big hug. You'll love telling your family about all the new things you learned and the friends you made along the way. And while leaving school may make you a little sad, don't worry, your story is just beginning. School is the most magical fairy tale of all, where every day can bring a happily ever after. And the best part is that you get another chance to do it again the next day. So get ready to be just like a princess and start your school journey. My house, my family. Sometimes I live with Mommy. Sometimes I stay with Dad. But we are all a family, whatever house I'm at. I'm special. I'm adopted. I love my family. I like to catch the tickle monster. Then I set him free. My family's my mother. Our house is way up high. At night, we see the stoplight change and hear the cars whiz by. My house is with my grandma. She works and plays with me. It's fun when all the cousins come. We're quite a family. My house is in the country, and we need lots of room. My family has piles of pets, and twins are coming soon. I'm living at a new house. I'm staying with new friends. Although I love my family, it's here that I fit in. My house is really changing. We're squeezing in somehow. New sisters came, and brothers too. My family's growing. Wow! My house is made of reeds, and we don't drive a car. A missionary family. Dad says that's what we are. My house has ramps and railings. See what my dog can do? She likes to hide behind the door, then turns the lights off. Boo! I'm told my house is noisy. Vibrations shake my hand. Since I can't hear, my family makes signs. I understand. I like to live at my house. I know I'm wanted there. We start each day with breakfast, and we end each day with prayer. Sometimes I say, I love you. They say, I love you too. We like to be together and do what families do. Okay, I'm going to finish up the first half hour of today's program with a picture book titled The Pumpkin Seeds Secret, a life cycle poem. A pumpkin is a seed, a plain little seed with a secret inside, a pocket, a pip with a new life to hide. To hide and to hold, as springtime unfolds, a pumpkin begins as a seed. A pumpkin is a sprout, a curious sprout with one leaf and then two, a budding, a nudging, a slow peekaboo. Happy for rain and sunshine again, a pumpkin pops out as a sprout. A pumpkin is a vine, a traveling vine, crawling over the ground, leafy and reaching and stretching around. A deeply green loom, where the blossoms will bloom, a pumpkin grows into a vine. A pumpkin is a flower, velvety petals with ruffles and seams, orangey yellow as summer sunbeams. The garden's best gown. Calling honeybees down, a pumpkin turns into a flower. A pumpkin is a fruit, a round little fruit growing larger each day, a globe, a whole world in its own quiet way. Painting orange on green, setting autumn a scene, a pumpkin swells into a fruit. A pumpkin is a face, plucked just in time for a spooky display, a smile that beguiles or scares us away, a signal, a light, on a Halloween night, a pumpkin turns into a face. A pumpkin is a food, bake it or cake it or cut it to roast, pie it, puree it, or spread it on toast. You might be suspicious, but oh, it's delicious. A pumpkin makes excellent food. A pumpkin is a house. Leave it outdoors and watch to see who, some slugs and some bugs, or a chipmunk or two. A shelter that's small, but is open to all. A pumpkin will serve as a house. A pumpkin is a pile. The air and the wet and the cold take their toll. Mushy and moldy, too squishy to roll. The daylight gets shorter. A sweater's in order. A pumpkin falls into a pile. A pumpkin is a miracle, a hideaway miracle under the snow, sleeping and dreaming and ready to go. Thanks to one little friend who was there till the end, a pumpkin's an everyday miracle. A pumpkin is a seed, a plain little seed with a secret inside, a pocket, a pip with a new life to hide. And as the spring dawns, that one friend who held on makes a pumpkin that began as a seed. And this is just a reminder. My name is Andy Bombeck, and I hope you're enjoying the Children's Story Hour. And as I mentioned at the beginning of today's program, for the second half hour, I'm going to continue reading the novel that I've been reading now for about 3 months, titled Angus Thongs and Full Frontal Snogging, Confessions of Georgia Nicholson. I am a facsimile of a sham of a fax of a person. Georgia Nicholson's life is far from simple. Her cat, Angus, is the size of a small Labrador. Her three-year-old sister may have peed somewhere in her room. And her best friend, Jazz, thinks she looks like an alien just because she accidentally shaved off her eyebrows. Enter the sex god. This just might turn out to be the most fabby fab year ever. Okay, last week, Elizabeth and her best friend Jazz were stalking Lindsay to see what happens when she met the sex god, Robbie. It looked like they kissed. Elizabeth beat Lindsay in the finals of a tennis match. She threw up her racket, which hit the umpire on the head, and then knocked her out, so Elizabeth was disqualified. Her mother is leaving for the night, and Elizabeth is having a pajama party. And that's where I left off last week. June pajama party. Friday, June the 4th. The pajama party sleepover. 5 p.m. Mom will not get going. Why is she so slow? Libby still has not got any knickers on. I offered to put them on her and Mom said, oh, would you love? Thanks. I cannot find my eyebrow tweezers anywhere. Have you seen them? Have you? I remembered they were in my pencil case. No, but I think I saw Libby with them. Damn, they could be anywhere. Libby decided that knickers on was a game, and I chased her around for ages before I could get hold of her. Then, when I was putting her knickers on, she was stroking my hair, going, purr, purr, nice pussycat. Do you want some milk, Tosser? I think she thinks Tosser is like a name. Once I got her dressed, I raced upstairs and got the tweezers, then put them in Angus's basket. Fortunately, he was out murdering birds, or he would have eaten them. Then I shouted to Mom, hey, Mom, guess where your tweezers are? Come and see. Mom came out of the bedroom and pointed to the cat basket. She said, honestly, thanks, love. Right now, I think that's everything. We can get off now, Libby. She grabbed Libby, who was struggling and licking her face. Libby said, bad, bad, Mommy, stealing Libby. As they went through the door, Mom said, you'll be okay, won't you? I'll be back late tomorrow. Eat something sensible and don't stay up too late. She went through the door and then came back a moment later. Don't even think about doing anything to your hair. 6 p.m. Rosie was the first to arrive. She said, Sven is going to come at about 11:30 after his restaurant shift finishes. I said, what have you got up to with him? She said, 6 and a bit of 7. We had the scoring system for kissing and so on from 1 to 10. 1, holding hands. 2, arm around. 3, goodnight kiss. 4, kiss lasting over 3 minutes without a breath. 5, open mouth kissing. 6, tongues. 7, upper body fondling, outdoors. 8, upper body fondling, indoors, in bed. 9, below waist activity, and 10, the full Monty. I said, what is he like at it? What is he like at it? Rosie said, he's good. I think Danish boys are better at it than English ones. They change rhythm more. I said, what do you mean? You know, English boys get really excited and just sort of kiss with the same pressure. Well, he varies the pressure. Sometimes it's gentle and sometimes hard and then middly. I said, "Oh, I like that." Rosie said, "I know, I do too. Apparently, all girls do. We like variety, whereas boys like the same." I said, "How do you know that?" And she looked a bit smug. "Oh, it's in Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus." Jules, Ellen, Jazz, Patty, Sarah, and Mabs all turned up, and we got out our pajamas, our Jim Jams. We watched Grease and kept stopping it and doing bits from it. I did You're the One That I Want on the sofa. Then, at about 11 o'clock, the phone rang. I answered, and it was Tom, wanting to speak to Jazz. So Jazz went off into the hall and shut the door so we couldn't hear. When she came back, her face was a bit pink. She sort of croaked, "He's coming round with his mate Leo." Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God! 11:30 p.m. Eating toast and Pop-Tarts when Leo and Tom arrived. They brought their pajamas too and put them on. What a good laugh. Then Sven turned up. I'd forgotten how big he is. Rosie and he disappeared off, and the rest of us watched Grease again. This time, the boys joined in. Tom is quite a laugh. I desperately tried not to mention Robbie. 1 a.m. Still up and chatting about everything. Haven't seen Rosie and Sven for hours. Surely they must have got past 7 by now. 1:30 a.m. Tom and Jazz disappeared off, and Leo and Ellen went off to get some air. Why do they think there is no air in the living room? I don't know. The rest of us decided to dare each other. It started off with taking your knickers off and putting them on your head and so on. And then I dared Sarah to go and stand on the garden wall and drop her pajama trousers and knickers. She did. 2 a.m. Patty and Mabs dared me to streak down to the bottom of the street. They said they would buy me a new lipstick if I did. The couples were still away, so I thought I'd do it. We went outside, all in our Jim Jams. It was a nice summer night, and there were no house lights on in the streets except for ours. So I took my Jim Jams off and ran like mad in my nutty pants down to the bottom of the street and back. It made us die laughing. The others couldn't believe that I had done it. We were all collapsed on the front doorstep when the couples came back. I hid behind the others while I scrambled into my pajamas. Tom winked at me. I should tell my brother what he's missing. I went purple. "Don't you dare, Tom. Promise. Promise me you won't." Tom said, "Do you think that me and Jazz should go out with each other again?" I said, "Oh, yes. I think you're perfect for each other." And he said, "I've always liked you because you're so sincere." At about 2:30, the lads went home and we cleared up the house. Please don't tell Tom. Please don't let Tom tell Robbie about the nutty pants incident. All us girls snuggled up under duvets in the front room, chatting about everything. Boys, makeup, lesbians. Rosie said, "How do you get to become a lesbian?" I said, "Why? Are you going to give it a go?" Jazz said, "You can't just give it a go. You can't just think, oh, I'll give being a lesbian a go." Ellen sat up. "A go at what?" Jazz went a bit red, which is a lot red in anyone else's language. "Well, have a go at, snogging a girl?" We all sat up then and went, "Arrak!" Rosie said, "Is that what they do then? Snog each other?" Jazz, the lesbian spokesperson, said a bit smugly, "Of course they do. They have proper sexual watsight." Rosie said, "How can they have proper sexual watsights when they haven't got, you know, any proper sexual watsights?" I interrupted, "Jazz, how come you know so much about it anyway?" She went, ludicrously red. Rosie had got all interested now. But, I mean, what do they do when they haven't got proper sexual what's-its? I said to Jazz, go on then, Miss Expert Knickers. What do they do in the privacy of their own lesbian love nests? And Jazz sort of mumbled something under her duvet. I said, you don't know, do you? And she mumbled again, snubbing. I repeated, snubbing? They do snubbing? They snub each other? Jazz sat up and said, no, rubbing. I said, good night, really quickly, and we all went to sleep. Wednesday, June the 18th, 6 p.m. Got a note from Jackie today. We are knocking off school this afternoon and going downtown to get a few things. We'll tell you all about the plan at lunch. I knew that getting a few things meant shopping in Jackie speak. I tried to hide her at lunchtime, hide from her at lunchtime, but she found me in the loo. I was reading my mag in one of the cubicles. I had my feet off the ground so you couldn't see there was anyone there. But she went into the next door cubicle and looked over the top of the loo wall. She said, what are you doing? I didn't look up. I just said, I'm practicing origami. She said, are you ready to go? We've got list of what to get and where we'll meet later. Suddenly, I snapped. I really was sick to death of her and Allison. They didn't make me laugh or anything. They just kept making me do things I didn't want to do. I was sick of it. I found myself saying, I'm not coming, and I don't think you should go either. Jackie was amazed. Have you become a Christian? I haven't seen your tambourine. Come on, get your coat, and we'll go over the back fields. I said no, and came out of the cubicle. She followed me and came up close. She is quite big. She said, I think you had better. Allison was just behind her. Then this odd, calm voice came out of me. I'd been watching Xena, Warrior Princess, and for one stupid moment, I thought I was her. I said, oh, good. I didn't realize I'd be able to try out my new martial arts skills so soon. If I break anything, I apologize in advance. I've only practiced on bricks before. Jackie looked a bit puzzled. Who wouldn't? But she kept coming nearer, and suddenly, with a yell, I grabbed her arm and twisted it right up her back. I don't know how, but I was doing it for the little people everywhere. I don't mean dwarfs. I just mean, you know, vulnerable people. 8 p.m., Jazz phoned. Everyone is talking about you. It's brilliant. 8:30 p.m., I am cock of the walk. I don't know what the girl equivalent of cock is. Surely it can't be vagina. I am vagina of the walk. Doesn't have the same ring to it somehow. Midnight, yes! Saturday, June 19th, 9 a.m. The Stiff Dillons are playing at the marketplace. Tom and Jazz are going, and all the gang. Shall I? 11:30 a.m. Mom is being ridiculous. She refuses to let me dye my hair blonde. I said, where would Marilyn Monroe have been if Miss Monroe had said, no, Marilyn, you'll ruin your hair? Mom threw her slipper at me. Oh, great. Now she has turned to violence. I may yet ring Esther Ranzine's child line. 2 p.m. Nougat, no face, mask on. I couldn't move my face. 2:30 p.m. Blocked the sink with my egg yolk mask. 4 p.m. I'm going to start my makeup now. 4:30 p.m. Double murdy. I have to start all over again. I've stuck the mascara brush in my eye. It's all watery and red. 5:30 p.m., lying down with cucumber slices on my eyes to take down the swelling. 5:50 p.m., Libby crept in and ate one of my cucumber slices. It gave me a terrible shock to see her face looming over me when I wasn't expecting it. 6 p.m., Ellen rang. We are meeting outside the marketplace at 8:30. Midnight. What an unbelievably brilliant night. Double cool with knobs. Robbie kissed me. The sex god has landed. The Stiff Dillons played some great music, and Jazz, Tom, Leo, Ellen, and me worked out these funny dance routines. Lindsay was there, all po-faced. Robbie was great in the band. I felt a bit self-conscious about dancing at first, but then I began to enjoy myself. I showed Tom and Jazz a little routine I had made up in my bedroom. And then it was like in a film because everyone, loads of people, started copying it and joining in. I was a bit out of breath at the end and hot. So when the band took a break, I went outside the back door. There was this sort of patio area. As I was standing there, Robbie came out. I felt really awkward and was going to go back in when he put his arm on mine and said, "Can I just speak to you for a minute, Georgia?" I said, "Yes, fine." He looked a bit embarrassed, so I said, "Look, if it's about Jazz and Tom, I'm sorry that you were angry with me. I think he's really nice and Jazz likes him a lot." Robbie said, "Well, I'm glad, but it's not that. I've just been meaning to give you this." Then he kissed me. I went completely jellyoid. It was like being part girl, part jellyfish. It was mega brilliant. 20 out of 10 type kissing. I got all that stuff you're supposed to have. Fireworks whooshing in your head. Bands playing, sea crashing in and out. I don't know how long it went on for. I was so faint. Eventually, he said, "I've wanted to do that for a long time, but I know it's wrong." I could hardly speak. It came out all mad. No, it's okay. Not wrong. No wrong. No. I mean, it's I, what, you, and always, even when I'm... He looked at me as if I was talking a foreign language. But I wasn't. I was just talking rubbish. Then one of the lads in the band came out, and Robbie sort of leaped away from me like a leaping thing. Then he went back in, saying to me, "Okay, so Georgia, will you pass that on to Tom? See you later." See you later? What does that mean? Here we go again? I told Jazz, and she said, "What's going to happen now? Are you his bit on the side? What does he mean, see you later? Does he mean see you later or see you later?" I had to stick my hand over her mouth to shut her up. When Robbie took the stage again, I had to stop myself gazing at him like an idiot. He was so gorgeous, and he had kissed me. When the gig was over, Robbie passed by me and said, "I'll call you." Then he went over to Lindsay. She put her arms round his neck, and I couldn't watch anymore. When will he call me? Angus was in my bed when I got home, and Libby. I had to sleep in a sort of S shape with my feet hanging out of the bed. But I don't care. Tuesday, June 22nd, 5:10 p.m. I don't know if it's me or the weather, but I am so hot all the time. No call for 3 days. Wednesday, June 23rd, 11 p.m. No call today. Thursday, June 24th, 6 p.m. Phone Jazz. He's not called yet. Jazz said, "Look, leave it with me. I'll try to find out something from Tom." "Will you do it subtle, though, Jazz?" She said, "What do you take me for? I know what's subtle." And I said, well, I'm sorry, but I feel a bit sensitive, and I don't want anyone to know about it until I know what is going on myself. She said, look, relax. My middle name is Cool. I said, is it? I thought it was Pollyanna. She said, well, it is. My mom liked the film. But that's not what I mean. And anyway, you said you'd never mention that I told you that. I said, okay, but just remember to be subtle. All right? She said, of course. Hang on a minute. Then I heard her yelling up the stairs. Mom, will you ask Tom to come down here? I heard a bit of faraway noise when Jazz's mom yelling from upstairs. Tom says, what do you want? He has just set up the computer and can't come away at the moment. Then I heard Jazz yell back, well, will you say that Robbie kissed Georgia and that he would call her later? And he hasn't called her yet? Does he know anything about it? I couldn't believe my ears. And it got worse because Jazz's mom joined in. Robbie kissed Georgie? But he's going out with Lindsay, isn't he? Jazz yelled back, yes, but he's confused. Then I heard Tom yelling down, what kind of kiss was it? And Jazz said, I think it was a six. I really wanted to kill her. Jazz, shut up. Friday, June 25th, 1 p.m. Lindsay came up to me at lunch break. She's so wet close up. She's got really blinky blue watery eyes, like a blue-eyed bat. Anyway, old Blinky said, well, I've heard what happened on Saturday. I went a bit pale. You've heard what? I played for a time. I heard that you have been going after my boyfriend. How dare she suggest that I would do such a thing? I went red and said, what idiot has been saying that? Lindsay glared at me. Robbie told me. I couldn't take it in. She went on. He told me how you followed him at the break, and then you just flung yourself on him. He said he was sorry for you, but also very embarrassed. I sputtered. I couldn't speak. She went on. So, I'm giving you a warning. Don't be so sad. You're a silly little girl. Don't let it happen again. I couldn't help thinking of the ancient Egyptians. They used to put long-handled spoons up people's noses and scoop their brains out. Of course, the people were dead first, but in Lindsay's case, there was hardly any difference between alive and dead. I was going to get some spoons and poke them up her beastly, sticky, up nose. 6 p.m. Jazz is going to gang up on Lindsay with me. I said to her, do you think Robbie really said I was sad and I flung myself on him? Jazz was a real pal. No, of course not. You didn't, did you? 6:30 p.m. Oh, why this? Why would he be such a pig as to say that? Oh, I hate him. I hate him. Midnight. I hate him. I hate him. 12:30 a.m. Oh, I love him. I love him. July, the sex god has landed. Thursday, July the 1st, canteen, 1 p.m. Lindsay put her coffee cup down while she went to get her bag, and I spat in it. The coffee cup, not her bag. Although, I will spit in her bag if I get the chance. I hate her. Jackie and Allison get on my nerves even more now. They have decided to be my friends. Jackie bought me a bar of chocolate today. It will be an apple next. It's a pathetic world when twisting someone's arm up their back gets them buying new things. 4 p.m. I'm so angry with Robbie. I want to tell him what I think about him, but I have too much pride. 4:30 p.m. Phoned Robbie at home. I got the number from Jazz. He answered the phone, but I just slammed down the receiver. And I had done 1-4-1 as well. Ha, 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 ha. 4:45 p.m. Phoned Robbie. He answered, and I said, "Robbie, it's Georgia." He sort of breathed out, and then he said, "I can't really find that science paper you asked me about, Mike. Can I call you later? Thanks, bye." 4:50 p.m. Phone Jazz. "What does he mean by calling me Mike?" Jazz said, "Well, I suppose Lindsay must have been there." 5:30 p.m. In bed with the curtains closed. 5:45 p.m. Mom came into my room. She said, "Do you want to talk about anything?" I said, "Yes, suicide." She said, "It can't be as bad as that." I said, "Well, it is. It's worse. I don't want to be here anymore. I hate school. I hate England." She said, "Well, do you think that maybe a summer trip to New Zealand might cheer you up? We could go over to Disneyland on the way." I said, "I don't care what I do." 6:30 p.m. "So this is what men are like. Well, that's it then. I am going to be a lesbian." 7 p.m. I got out some photos of Denise Van Auten and tried to imagine kissing her. 7:05 p.m. I can't do it. 7:10 p.m. I'll have to be a nun then. 8 p.m. It's no use. If I pull all my hair back like a nun, it makes my nose look huge. Still, I don't suppose that matters when you're only saving poor people and making soup for them, like nuns do. And unfortunately, this is where I'm going to have to stop today because we are out of time. I hope that everyone enjoyed today's program as much as I did. I want to say hi to all the listeners out there, and I want to encourage everyone to tune in next week when I continue with the novel Angus, Thongs, and Full Frontal Snogging, Confessions of Georgia Nicholson. Until then, I hope everyone has a great day and a fantastic week. So long and take care, everyone. Goodbye.